Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a positively minded life. Today, I want to talk about a very serious subject, something very important. We're going to talk about hearing voices. I want to talk about this whole concept of hearing voices because ever since the specter of violence caused by mental illness keeps raising its head, the Newtown, Connecticut school killing and the Washington, D.C. Navy Yards, all of this has kind of brought to our attention this idea that people hear voices in their head and that what does that all mean? And I want to talk about voices that you may or may not hear. We're going to be talking about that later today, and it's going to be very important. We may even take your calls related to that subject. In the meantime, before we do, I want to present you with my latest concept of the four different ways to go through a day. I started this just the other day, but I thought you might enjoy this. Number one is the belief in Murphy's Law, that whatever can go wrong will go wrong. There's a question for you, you know, and sometimes it happens. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong and does go wrong. That's a belief. Now, if you think about all the potential disasters that there are in life, what about if you have a day that whatever can go wrong does not go wrong? Isn't that a wonderful day? All right, number two. How about the second option? Whatever can go wrong does go wrong. And so that's a terrible way. I mean, that usually feels bad. But whatever can go wrong does go wrong, but you could handle it. And you could do things with it. And you could take care of everything that does go wrong. That's also a delightful way of living. You get through every problem. Then there's the third option. Whatever can go wrong does go wrong, and you can't do anything about it. That's the one that feels terrible. You feel powerless. You don't know what to do. You want to throw up your hands. Horrible feeling. But then there's a final one that I've been working on, which is whatever can go wrong does go wrong, and you can't do anything about it, and it's okay. Now, that's a very important thing. Suddenly, you've tried to do everything about it. It kind of reminds me of the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, but the courage to change the things I can. So if things go wrong and you're willing to delve into it and try to get it right and you still can't get it right, how is that okay? Well, it's got to be okay because you've given it your best shot. And knowing that you've given something your best shot is in itself a high state of being. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We have so many signals that are given to us, so many different ways that we can learn to get through this life in a positive way. But we really can't tell for sure. What are the things that make a difference? There is an interesting article appeared today, which I thought was about things that we find repulsive. Let me see if I can find that for you. Things that we find repulsive. It's a study in aspects of repulsiveness. They call it disgustologist. Now, here's a fascination. You know, there are certain things that bother you that you can't stand the smell of, that'll wrinkle your nose at. Think about something that if somebody mentions it, you ugh. Like for some people, slimy things. For some people, smelly things. You know, the smell of certain things. Oh, it's a terrible smell. It always fascinated me that on 58th Street, which is around the corner from my office, it's Central Park South, and there were horses lined up going across, and they all used to dump right on 58th Street, and the smell of 58th Street was one of horse manure. And then they paid, people paid millions of dollars for these apartments opposite this and the many hotels that were there. You know, these very famous hotels were standing right there opposite this. The smell of the place was, if you walk out the door, the smell of horse manure. Somehow people learned to take that in their mind and shift that from being an aversive smell to it's an okay smell because it smells like 58th Street. So can we do that with our mind with things that disgust us? And why do we have these aversions? Now, this is important because it kind of sets us up for the rest of the program, which is about hearing voices. I want you to think about parasite avoidance theory. Interesting? The reason that we have this reaction of disgust, the reaction of aversion to so many things is because something inside our body genetically is saying that thing can eat you up. Get this? This is the basis. The thing that you fear the most is dangerous to you, the organism. Well, isn't that funny? So if there is a smell, for example, of manure or the smell of a body dying or something like that, you're told to get away because there's danger. You could get eaten up. This is a primitive part of you. Why then would be the smell of certain rotting things? Well, because rotting things represent the potential stuff inside your body that could eat you up. See? Rotting stuff, the inside of your body, parasites, bugs on the inside, you have to learn to avoid them as well. So somehow your smell factor helps you turn away from that which could be dangerous to you. It looks as if disgust, from an evolutionary perspective, is like aiding us as a survival of the fittest. We live longer if we have the reaction and we follow the reaction. However, some of those reactions are so old that you turn away from it. You could look at somebody who looks a certain way and you could feel this kind of revulsion. But it is limiting you from seeing the person. So it's very important to understand that we have these things going on inside us. These microbes, these avoidance techniques inside us that are automatically making us turn against certain things, and we don't know why. Why do people hate the smell of mayonnaise? You know what I mean? Why do people have this? But it's all because it represents something that could hurt you on the inside, or maybe on the outside as well. So speaking about hurting you on the inside or outside, I heard my latest joke today. Just a joke. The brain is a most amazing organism. It's an organ. It works 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, from birth until the day you fall in love. What about this stuff? Did you ever hear of Hanlon's Law and Finagle's Law? The Finagle's Law, you know, we talked about Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Now, what was the idea of Murphy's Law, and why did we have this? Murphy, by the way, was a captain, not of a ship, but it was kind of an industrial, some kind of lieutenant captain. The idea of Murphy's Law and the reason that people say anything can go wrong will go wrong is to encourage simplicity. The more complex you get, the more potential there is for something to go wrong. So Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong, is kind of a message saying to you, simplify things. Simplifying things is very important. Albert Einstein, I remember, said, everything in life should be as simple as possible and no simpler, that there's a certain perfect simplicity that you could reach. How much in your life gets overcomplicated? How many times do you overcomplicate things? I've known people who will do things like they'll try to get tickets on an airplane, and then they'll say, oh, maybe I could get it cheaper through Cheap Air, and then they'll go and they'll make it a little more complex, and maybe I'll call it and make it a little more complex, and they have to keep paying for changing their tickets. The more complex they get, the more it costs them money. So Murphy's Law is kind of a warning. Then there's Finagle's Law. the Finagle's Law, which is kind of interesting, is anything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible moment. See, they add something to it. Not only will it go wrong, but it'll go wrong at the worst possible moment. And this will be like if you're going up to the Academy Awards and you're wearing a very complex dress, it could fall apart right while you're on stage, as we've seen happen to a couple of people. Can go wrong at the worst possible moment. Then there's Hanlon's Law, which I think is fascinating. Because as a WBAI listener, I love to listen for conspiracies. I believe there's a conspiracy. I believe there's a giant conspiracy to take over the earth by the oil companies. I don't really believe it, but I suspect it. In Hanlon's Law, it says, never attribute to malice that which would be adequately explained by stupidity. If you think about the functioning of our government, how much of it could be explained by stupidity as opposed to by direct malice? Do you know what's happening today, my friends? Today, it's a special day. Today is a birthday day. A birthday day for Julian Joyella. Julian, happy birthday, young man, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Surprise
I'm
to you.
I'm happy to be on my birthday.
Yeah, happy here to be. I mean, of all things, you're 21 years old.
21.
What does it feel like? Anything different?
It's been pretty fast so far, so I don't know if I've had time to think yet.
But and you've been here.
And I've been here.
Right, you're rushing up here to do the show for people.
I'm rushing now.
Now you're
Ever since I turned 21.
Ever since.
Thank you.
Get the mariachi band out for you.
I like it.
Go, Julian. Julian has been such an important part of what we've done here. Hey, what was that? Did you hear that echo?
We're in a cave.
Yeah, we're in a cave. Let's go on to this hearing voices. You know, hearing voices, what is hearing voices? It's difficult to explain what it's like to hear voices, particularly if you've never heard voices yourself. However, the experience of hearing voices is not as alien an experience as most people think it is. Firstly, it may be the same as hearing a voice in a normal way through your ears, the difference being that the voice has no physical cause. So people who hear voices. Now, if you're a psychiatrist, psychologist, social worker, if you're in private practice or you work in a hospital and somebody comes to you and says, I am hearing voices, your immediate thought is, I'm going to send them out to medication. There is no doubt about it, because one of the definitions of schizophrenia is hallucinations, auditory hallucinations. And therefore, if you have auditory hallucinations, the assumption is schizophrenia. Now, this may be true. People who have schizophrenia do hear voices, but not all people who hear voices are schizophrenic. Now, this is very important, because the minute that somebody admits that they hear voices, somebody is sending them off medication. There's almost no one to talk to about it. I have spoken to people who hear voices, and I could hear, you know, let me tell you what it's like. Did you ever turn around, you're in the street, and you think somebody calls your name? And you're sure somebody called your name and you look around and there's nobody there? You're hearing a voice. That's hearing a voice. What if that continues and you hear your name called a few different places and now the name starts telling you things? So we want to find out what this is all about. You may have had the experience of hearing someone call your name. People who are recently bereaved frequently hear the voices of their partners over and over again speaking to them, and they're startled. They turn. They say, oh, I just heard him talking. He's still here. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that if you live with somebody so long, their mind is so entwined with yours and you hear their voice so often that your mind is conditioned to it? Why do certain people hear voices and other people do not? This may be chemical. There may be parts of the structure of the brain that allow you to hear things in a certain verbal way. You could actually hear words, whereas other people can't hear the words. So it may be a combination of imagination, your mind, plus the ability to hear things. You know, it's like there's a... this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, by the way. I'm excited about today because it's Julian's birthday. It's almost a year that we had the flood. It's almost a year since we had this incredible thing happen to us, the station, and... It's almost a year. I keep thinking about what an enormous year this has been, especially for this beautiful radio station, WBA, and the fact that we're still broadcasting, and the tireless work of the engineers to keep us going. So I keep hearing the voices. You keep wondering. So if you're... It's not the same as a suddenly inspired idea, which people recognize as coming from themselves. Rather than it's a thought that's like not your own thought, and it suddenly comes to you, and people call it telepathy. Well, is telepathy hearing voices? If someone says to you, I am telepathic, would you send them out to get medication right away? A good example of this is the experience of recalling a rhyme or a tune which you find yourself repeating unconsciously over your breath, and it keeps going through your head again and again and again. You can even find yourself humming the tune. Did you ever get into one of those conditions where you can't get rid of a song in your mind? Oh, my gosh. I remember being possessed by a song from a movie. Possessed. It wouldn't leave me. I kept hearing it over. Did you ever have that happen to you, Julian? It's like it just won't go. You want it to go, but it keeps coming back. This one, I'm even afraid to say the name of it because it may start coming back again. It was there. And not only was it there, but I had a good friend who had the same song recurring at the same time. And the two of us used to joke, don't say the song. Actually, I'd love to hear if anybody has ever been possessed by music, by a song, by sound, or by voices. Now, you know, you may think that hearing voices is something that is horrible and totally dysfunctional. Well, Anthony Hopkins, in an interview in the News of the World, said he hears voices in his head a great deal. Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, remember Brian Wilson? He had a lot of problems, but he also talked about hearing voices. Charles Dickens, no wonder about that, you know, who is the author. He used to tell the tale about hearing voices all the time. John Forbes Nash, who won the Nobel Prize, he was a voice listener. He heard voices. Joshua Slocum, first person to circumnavigate the globe, single-handed in 1898 aboard a boat called Spray. He got through that boat. He said his entire trip around the world, he was hearing voices telling him what to do. Mahatma Gandhi also heard voices. He kept talking about his experience and his belief. He called it his inner voice for guidance, but he said he listened to it. Robert Schumann, the classical composer, he was a voice listener. Joan of Arc, little wonder. She was hearing the voice of God. Sigmund Freud himself admitted to hearing voices. During the days when I was living alone in a foreign city, I quite often heard my name suddenly called over and over again. And Socrates talked about hearing voices and using them as his guide. So the voices you hear could be good and they could not be good. There are certain people that have the voices turning into a benign force, and other ones are turning into a bad force, a harmful force. So if you have voices, do they automatically tell you that you should commit a crime? No. No, you hear the voices. That's one thing. There is a group of people who have gathered together on the internet, and they work together to try to talk about their different voices. Very often, you have to learn to deal with the voices in your head. I did significant work with multiple personality dysfunction. And when I was working with multiple personalities, I had people who not only heard voices, but they took on the personality of the voices all the time. But they would talk about hearing the different characters of their multiple personality talking in their heads. And I queued up for you an interview that I did with someone where you can hear one of the voices speaking to me. So I thought you might hear something here. Hold on a second. Let me see. So I wanted to bring you... life is never as easy as you think. See, here's an example of something that I didn't anticipate could go wrong, did go wrong. And we're fixing it. So if you just bear with me, I'll be able to bring you this. It's very precious. Stay with me.
It's revealed to me.
Here we go. Here we go. It's part of an interview, and I want you to hear the voice. This is going to be the voice of someone who is an alter voice. It's not the main person who speaks to the person, but in this case was speaking to me.
You would short circuit, sort of like blowing a fuse. And I have to say that I'm speaking for all of myself. But I'm very grateful that this was what I ended up having rather than some things that other family members have from the same household. I feared the best of all.
Even with the multiplicity, which I'll use the word multiplicity.
Yes.
You know why I don't like the word did? Because did is a past tense of do. I don't like did. Don't call him a did. Call him a do. Call him a being. But, you know, you say something important, and here's one of the things that I find remarkable and I appreciate with you. If I were talking to another therapist who treated multiple personality, they have a good idea about it. But, you know, these pros, they get so stuck up and they don't know what to say and they're afraid to talk. You know more about this than almost anybody. Now, you've been in treatment.
Yeah.
For a long time, what kind of treatments did you receive?
In the beginning, when I was first diagnosed, I had already been in many years of therapy, not properly diagnosed.
So nobody knew you were a multiple?
No, they did not.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. This is going to appear later. Right now, I'm talking to a very young girl.
Yeah, that's right.
You're somewhere between 4 and 7 years old.
I'm 7 today.
Today you're 7.
Sometimes I'm 4, but I've grown up a lot, and I don't like to be 5 or 6, so I went from 4 to 7. But see, sometimes I'll be 4 really only when I need to have certain kind of loving affection, and I need to play in a different way. But I've grown up so much that I don't really, I'm not 4 all that much anymore.
When you're 4, is it still Skates at 4, or is it somebody else who's 4?
No, it's still me. It's just that, like, let's say you decided one day, you know, you had a hard day at work, you're stressed out. And you need a little bit of nurturing. You need a little bit of fun. And so you may want to sit on the floor and play with some trains or cars or something. And so you get a little bit younger. That's sort of the thing that it is. It's not really a big deal.
You've been listening to a part of something which I may present to you. At another time, let me present the whole thing. It's just fascinating. So if you've done this work as I have, you're used to speaking to people with different voices, and there are a lot of aspects of the different voices that we have to deal with. Now, if you're hearing voices, there are things that you have to deal with. Do you listen to them or don't you listen to them? Are they kind or are they not kind? There are many of the ways of hearing voices, you know. for example, when you dream. When you dream, you're convinced that that which you are dreaming is real because you're in the dream. When you're in the dream, you don't think to yourself, I'm dreaming. You think to yourself, this is my situation. If I was dreaming the other day of driving somewhere, I was in that car driving somewhere. Now, at that time, I'm hearing somebody talk to me. So here I am sleeping, but I'm hearing another voice, and I could actively hear that voice. When I wake up, I could tell you what they were saying. How separate is that from the person who hears voices? If I hear the voices in my sleep, does that mean I'm not as upset as if I hear the voices in my waking day? Or am I fortunate to hear the voices in my waking day as well as the voices I hear while I'm sleeping? It's a confusion, but you can understand the confusion of the professionals. This is what they go through. For voice hearers, the people who hear voices, the voices might be present all day, but might actually have the effect of preventing them from doing things in their daily life. So to you, it may not be a voice necessarily. It may be a thought. So you have something you feel like doing and another part of you that keeps dragging you back. Is that a voice or is that not a voice? Well, according to the people who hear voices, the one we're talking about, the ones who hear audible voices that aren't there. What I'm making a case for is that there are many more voices that we don't account for. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Voices might also punish the voice hearer, you, if they don't like what you do or what you want to do. For example, if you want to leave a party and there's one part of your voice that likes you to get bashed and drunk and crazy and lose yourself, it might criticize you for leaving the party. And you'll be fighting with yourself. It seems like that whole idea of fighting with yourself is fighting with an inner voice. So what is my case that I'm making? I'm making a case for when we hear that people have inner voices, we don't necessarily are looking at somebody who's so far removed from us. There are certain inner voices that reflect a great deal of disturbance. And then there are other inner voices that reflect some manifestation of thinking that can actually be physicalized into an auditory hallucination or auditory presence. If you hear a tune in your head, but it's not a word, but you hear the tune, is that hearing a voice? We don't know, and we're not trying to make... There can be a pleasant side to hearing voices. Sometimes the apparent wisdom is real. Sometimes the voices you hear could be very intelligent, more intelligent than you. Some voice hearers report that they've been told things they didn't know or couldn't work out for themselves, and that the voice is of real assistance. It happens to me a great deal. When I'm taking callers, sometimes I hear something, and I don't know what it is I hear. I think we will take a couple of calls today. Where's that phone number? Yeah, but you know, our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. Those of you who have been in contact with me, if we're going to take a call, we're going to take callers about the subject. If it's something, anything off the subject, I'm going to discontinue the call, okay? So here we are, 212-957-2729. We will take your calls a little later. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We are going to take a short break, and when we get back, play a little music, and then we'll take a call, okay? We'll be right back.
History is littered with these stolen alternatives. We have to know this history, not just because history makes us stronger and gives us a narrative, but because we have to know that our ideas are not tainted, they're not broken. In fact, they are so dangerous because they are so very popular, because people vote for them, because they actually want this vision of a mixed economy, this dangerous moderate idea, because it actually really does eat into the profits at the very top, which is why there had to be a counter-revolution to attack this very modest, very reasonable, very workable idea. Now, if we know this history, if we know that our ideas weren't defeated, we won't just stay oriented. We will have the confidence to forcefully put forward our vision of collectivism.
Tune in this October for the Voices of WBAI, a membership drive with a difference. Pacifica Radio, a unique voice in New York City for more than 50 years. 99.5 FM and online at WBAI.org.
Friends, one of those voices that I hear very frequently. We're going to be talking about voices more, but you know, let's do something we haven't done in a long time. Let's take one of your calls. Hold on a minute. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Armand.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, is this Gene?
Yeah.
Hello, Gene. Welcome.
How you doing? Well, I wanted to ask you a question about multiple personalities.
Sure.
I had read in some books that there are people who have, say, full-blown diabetes with all the signs and symptoms, and then when the personality changes, it's gone. You can't find it. High blood pressure in one and not in the other.
Yes.
Have you seen things like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yes. I've actually worked with it. I had a woman, get this one for a detail. I had a woman who I worked with who is a multiple personality, and she spoke two different languages. A language in each personality. Now, keep in mind the beauty of this, Gene, because you have a total attention of your personality to learning a language, which is different than if you have to spare your mind or share your mind with so many other things. So she mastered Chinese. Now, that's amazing. Then she also, in another personality, she played piano, and she played beautifully. So that's how the mind could split. Now, this is the really funny story. She was allergic to chicken pox because of early experience, but not allergic in each personality.
Hmm.
So this means that the body has some kind of system for being able to separate the physiology.
But is it the body or the personality in the body?
Well, I would say the master mind of the body, whatever the mastermind, whoever's running the show. This is, you know, in some level, I used to believe that people who are multiples were born to be twins or quadruplets, you know, and they were meant to be born a different way, and they were just born in one body because it's the way it seemed. It seemed like they had different physiologies.
How about eye color? Have you seen different eye colors? Or?
No. No, that I haven't seen. But eye prescriptions for glasses I have seen. Different prescriptions, different eyeglasses. So you seem to have an interest in this. What brings your interest to it, Gene?
Well, I'm interested in many different questions about the mental mind-body part of healing, and I read a book called The Holographic Universe years ago.
And that's what's his name from California?
Michael Talbot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, I remember well.
And he talked about the profound physical changes that would come over people in different personalities. And so that, to me, proves that, you know, it's not strictly a physical thing. Illness is not strictly a physical phenomenon. And if that's possible, then it means that there must be, you know, mechanisms or powers within the human being that can profoundly change the course of an illness, if we could understand
how
to tap it.
So. And have you been able to apply any of that to yourself, Gene? Have you been able to master any things that have been significant challenges?
Not at that level, certainly, no. I mean, I think I've, you know, at a more sort of normal level, I've been able to change levels of stress and levels of identification with, you know, fear or anger or things like that. But
well, I think you said something very important. There's something about stress that if you can understand how stress affects you, not that we should avoid stress, but the very effect of stress and how it could have such an effect on so many different parts of the body and mind. And that if you get a deep understanding of it, almost a physiological as well as psychological understanding of it, it really helps you get through life a lot easier.
Well, actually, you know, now I'm thinking there is something, and I've actually heard you talk about it on different shows, which I have seen pretty clearly, which is that when you're in stress, there's a particular you that believes in that stress. So I don't know if it's quite like a multiple personality, but, I mean, if you just study your postures, for example, in different moments, you know, the posture carries a certain impression of yourself.
I agree.
So, you know, that posture is like a body memory of that self-image. And, you know, you return to those postures in moments of stress, and if you can let go of that, it's as if you let go of that persona.
You seem to be a man who's learning about himself. It's really great. Gene, thank you so much for calling in.
Sure.
Thank you. This is the first live call I've been able to take in a very long time. Glad to be able to do it with you.
Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Telephone number is 212-957-2729. My friends, 212-957-2729. So nice to speak with you again. So, question for you. What are the different problems that a person runs into when they have voices? Here's number one, is if you're hearing voices, you want to know, are they telling you the truth or not? Are the voices telling you the truth or not? Or are they lying to you? Could a voice inside your head be lying to you? What if the voice is saying to you, you don't look good enough to go outside today because it wants you to stay home? So figuring out if the voices are telling the truth or not. Number two, getting to know the voices better, trying to understand them. And trying to understand them would be trying to understand their needs. If you have many different sides of your personality, and let's say it just exists as different thoughts. If you have two different thoughts, one thought says you're ugly, another thought says you're beautiful. One says you're fat, the other one says you're okay. What is the need of the one that is criticizing you? You'll see if you begin to understand them that they have a need for you to stay home, a need for you to stay safe. And if you understand the need of the voice that's speaking to you, the voice that occupies your mind, it's somewhat like understanding your children. Once you understand their need, you'll understand that what they're telling you is coming from their need. It's much like a parent talking to a child. You know, let's say you're a little kid and your mother says, I don't want you playing in the snow anymore. I don't want you going out today. It's too cold. What she really means is I want to stay inside and watch my movie program and I don't want to have to worry about you. So you try to understand the need of the voice that's coming into your head. And this is what helps people who get to know their voices. We have let's take another call. Julie is on the phone with us. Hold on a second. Hi, Julie. This is Armand DeMille.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Julie. Thanks. Welcome to WBAI.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I've been hearing.
Could you turn down your radio, Julie?
Yes.
Because I'm hearing a voice. Then we're hearing a voice in the background, on top of the background.
I've been hearing voices for all my life.
Okay.
And I have come to know how to discern the voice by prayer and asking God to discern for me if this is a voice of good or if this is a voice of not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult because you can't talk to everyone about this. And
tell me what is that, Julie? It must be, and I wish I could express, just like the woman who was talking on the piece I played before, how frustrating it must be to be in this unusual position where you're hearing voices, you're in conflict about their intention, their motivation, but you can't talk to anybody about it because they think you're crazy.
In this culture, they think you're crazy, but in many, many other cultures, it is not necessarily the norm, but it is acceptable spiritually to have these type of things.
Now, could you tell me anything that was negative that you've been directed to do as by one of your voices?
No, because I do not allow them to do that to me. I know if they are negative, they are not from God. So I know to dismiss them or say, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so that's what you've done. You've been able to ascribe to a voice that is positive. You are saying, this is related to my belief in God. And there, my God belief goes along with this, and my God belief does not go along with the negative voice. Therefore, I discard the negative voice.
You have to, because the negative voices are not from a good spirit. It's not from a good place. And it's meant to discourage you and destroy you at any means possible. So,
but has there ever been a point when you did listen to the negative voice?
Or little things like things that tell you aren't going to do this or you can't do that. But for the most part, when I say in the name of Jesus Christ, if you are not of God, go away from me. And it seems like the name of Jesus Christ banishes these voices.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm glad it works for you.
Thank you.
That's
so
terrific.
Much.
Julie, thank you so much for calling in and thanks for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Telephone number here, 212-957-2729. If you get a busy call, you're going to a busy signal, you just have to dial back because we have a limited number of lines. Okay. Hold on one second. I'm going to take another call. Hi, Michael. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Michael, are you there?
Thank you very much for the show.
Sure, Michael.
I was mentoring somebody who had about a half a dozen personalities. And what I suggested to the various personalities is that they all work together to help her achieve her goals. And it seemed to work.
You must have been the missing ingredient that helped pull that glue together because for a while they were at odds before they met you, right?
Yes.
You know, and what you did is it's going to sound very strange. You created a marriage, a melding. You created an idea of them working together. Now, wasn't there one particular voice that was working against this harmony?
No. I spoke to each of them separately and asked each of them if they would be willing to help her.
And all were willing to do that?
Yes.
That's unusual. So I guess there was one or two that maybe didn't want to speak to you, who might have been in the background, but they may have been overwhelmed by the cooperation of the others.
Yes.
Because in all the cases that I've ever treated, in all the people that I've ever treated, there was always one personality that absolutely did not want the harmony. In fact, in most of the suicidal cases that I've treated, they were never suicide. It was usually one personality trying to kill the main personality with the belief that if they killed the main personality, they would survive. It's an odd belief.
Yes.
But it was each of these, but that was with the negatives, and you were fortunate, maybe because of the good graces of who you are. Where did you, what got you to the point where you felt you could do this with people?
Well, it actually came up in a counseling session, a coaching session. And I decided to tackle it.
Good for you. Good for you. That's how it happened to me many, many years ago. I had no idea what I was listening to, and I was lucky enough to call on a psychiatrist for supervision, and I went into training and learning, and there was so much about it that's phenomenal and amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for the work that you did.
You're welcome, Armand. Thank you.
Thanks. 212-957-2729. That's the number here. Let's say the effect of some of the other things. Nowadays, one of the things people do is they use the social media to dialogue with the voices. You can use social media to dialogue with voices. You can actually have a Facebook page and have the voices talking on the Facebook page. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, that's the modern way of people finding a way to get support for themselves. There's also people take medication. Now, there is a thing about taking medication that will quiet the voices. You know, I mean, if you take enough alcohol, you can quiet the voices. Actually, there are a lot of people who hear voices when they drink alcohol. But we medicate ourselves. One of the other techniques that people have learned is to try to simplify. Doing simple things like gardening, walking, focusing on breathing. Helps reduce the amount of anxiety you feel, because underneath the activity of the voices, it's almost invariably a high anxiety state. We're going to take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. Emmanuel, this is Armand DeMille.
Good afternoon, Armand. Just wanted to shut the radio off. So
sure. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Thank you. Thank you for knowing about that.
Yes, I was just wondering, in the interest of fair balance, if there should be a discussion about hearing voices because there exists a technology that actually can project voices into people's head. Now, you know, recently the news with NSA and wiretapping and the covert technologies that exist, this technology about the ability to project voices into another's head would actually make the NSA technology look like child's play. And it really should be front page news. There's patents from the military that exist. It's called the microwave auditory effect. And recently, you started the program with a discussion about a gentleman from Aaron Alexis. And he had inscribed on his weapon ELF, which I get extremely low frequency weapon. Now, this is my ELF, he says. And there exists that technology today. It's called the Medusa effect, and the Air Force has it. And there are tens of
Emmanuel, do you think you ever hear this yourself? Do you think that these voices are ever being pushed into your mind?
No hearing.
But you've never had the experience.
I don't hear anything like that. There's no sounds that come to me. I am just interested in this technology, and that is
sure. And inevitably, they've got to be, of course.
And then some people act out on this, and I'm wondering if there is actually an increase in these horrific events that we see plastered along the media from this covert torture technology.
Well, you know, if you take it out of the covert torture technology and you go to that earlier effect that I spoke about when I talked a little earlier about Harlow's theory, when you could attribute to malice,
yes,
that which could be adequately explained by stupidity. It may be just the stupidity of the technology, not thinking that we could reach across barriers. You know, the very idea that people wear headsets nowadays,
yes,
and they wear them all the time, we have no idea what that is doing to the human mind, but it's just accepted. So I don't know. Emmanuel?
You raise a very good point there. And, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, just to Murphy's Law, you know, if anything can go wrong or will go wrong, but if there's any weapon that exists, is the potential for it to be misused? Is that potential very real, and will it be misused?
And that's what we're dealing with.
Yes, go ahead.
Of course, and that's exactly what we're dealing with. Emmanuel, thank you very much for your observations. I want to be able to get on to a couple of other calls.
Thank
you very much, Armand. That's intelligent exploration. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So some of the things that people do is you try to block out the music. You know, very often I wonder, Louis C.K., who is a comedian, did a fabulous thing recently on on cell phones, why he doesn't want to buy his child a cell phone. And I want you to search this up on the internet, because you'll find it, my friends. It is a beautiful thing, because he talks about where the use of texting and cell phones come from. And he talks about the use of texting as a way of avoiding your own existential annihilation and your feeling of the void and your feeling of loneliness. It's an exquisite, exquisite comedic piece. So if you think about it, what's happening to people is they sometimes want to block out their own pain. And the way they block out their pain is they flood their minds with things that could be headphones, music, you know, the people listening to music so loud. So one of the things that people might do is they may create voices to block out their own feelings. Another thing that we know about. 212, what is our number here? 212-957-2729. Let's take another caller, just because I've been enjoying taking callers so much today. Phil is on the line. Hi there, this is Armand DeMille. Hello there. Oops. Hi, Phil. It's Armand DeMille.
Yes, hi, Armand.
Hi there.
This is Fila. I am a very big fan of yours. Actually, I did meet you with my mother. I remember you,
Fila.
Yes, of course.
How wonderful. How is your mom?
My mom is okay. My mom is great, and Mr. White is also great. I called not because I'm hearing voices, but because I'm studying psychology, and I thought about...
Could you turn down the radio in the back there, Fila?
Okay, let me cut it off.
Yeah, cut it off, yes.
Okay. Maybe it's not that people are hearing voices. Maybe it's because of the limbus and, like, you know, psychokinetic energy, how we, you know, understand logic through different means. Like, you know, you can do sign language, you could do Morse code, you could, like, maybe tap on something and, you know, I hear it, or, like, you know, something like that, or different languages. So maybe you can, people can relate to that, and they maybe say it's voices, but it might be something in a different chakra.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting, of course.
Right.
Of course, to extend our mind a little bit, do you have that experience yourself?
Not really. I mean, I just thought it would be not hearing voices, but I would think that, you know, the universe is unfathomable. And basically what happened is that, you know, everything that you touch can be, it's just unfathomable.
It's so big, isn't it? Fila, it's so nice to talk to you, and thank you for reminding us of the vastness of the universe. I want you to go back. I want you to hear that Louis C.K. Comedic routine. Louis C.K. comedic routine on cell phones, yeah. Beautiful. Well, nice to hear your voice again. Best to your mom.
Thank you. I'll tell her.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Oh, my gosh. I would love to get through all of this with you. There are grounding techniques that you could do. You know, there are things you could do to ground yourself. And you ground yourself into trying to stay connected with the present. One of the ways that you avoid dealing and succumbing to the power of voices that are coming to you is you keep yourself as grounded, as simple, and as much in the present as possible. We have time for just one more call. Hi, Natalie. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Armand, so wonderful to talk to you.
So nice to talk to you too, Natalie.
I was wanting to respond earlier when you were discussing how somebody was having these multiple conversations and asking the bad guys to help the good guys.
Yes.
And that's definitely not been my experience. I've been hearing voices before I'm 11 years old, but that's my first significant experience with it. And from my experience, the bad guys don't want to have any part of the good guys.
Yes, they need somebody in the middle to help them with that. You know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, Natalie. We have to be going because it's the end of our program. It's so nice to talk to you.
Absolutely.
But if
you
want to email me, I would love to get it. This is Armand DeMille. You could go to thepositivemind.com or you could email me, Armand, positivemind@thepositivemind.com. I would love to talk to you further. Send me feedback, too,
friends. I certainly will. Thank you so much. Have a
wonderful
day. This
is Armand Amigo. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Special thanks to Tony and Reggie. Great scientists. Great scientists for pulling this all together. And, of course, to the older and wiser Julian Joyello.
If you look at the CNN experience and the reporters taking Pacifica reports to the Pentagon and AP taking our reports again, putting them out to the world, we call that trickle-up journalism. That's the power of independent media. That's the media that we need to support in this country and around the world. There is a force more powerful than the corporate networks who have violated their sacred responsibility. Just like us, they are using the public airwaves, ABC, NBC, CBS. And so it is unforgivable that they have become the most powerful weapon the Pentagon has ever deployed, more powerful than any bomb or any missile, is the U.S. media.
Tune in this October for the Voices of WBAI, a membership drive with a difference. Pacifica Radio, a unique voice in New York City for more than 50 years. 99.5 FM and online at WBAI.org.
Harlem, are you ready? Calling all citizens, community leaders, businesses, organizations, and houses of worship. September is National Preparedness Month. Join the Harlem Ready Summit on Wednesday, September 25th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Harlem State Office Building, located at 163 West 125th Street on the second floor, to learn how we can prepare our community to handle a large-scale crisis or disaster. This is a free event, but space is limited, so register today. Call 646-504-2299.